Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to episode 61.5 of Dead Zone the Podcast. In this bonus episode, we go deeper into the fluff of Star Saga. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. And now on to the episode.
And welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast, a special 61.5 episode. With me is my co-host and podcaster extraordinaire, Mr. Rob Harper.
Yellow.
And I am Jack, and today we are going to be discussing Star Saga.
The Saga of the Stars.
Exactly. Now, we do have quite a bit of news, enough to make a 0.5 episode well worth your listen.
Yep, if you're interested in Star Saga, listen on. So they sent us some background information, and I'll read it out to you. How's that sound?
Sounds fantastic.
Through his network of underground contacts, Blaine has been offered a job. It's a simple one, though not without risk, and requires some amount of discretion. Although the use of small military forces or shadow teams in corporate espionage is quite common within the GCPS, it is still something most corporations prefer to keep off their official books. Data relating to vaccine development has been stolen from the client corporation and taken to a research facility hidden beneath the surface of Eris? EIRAS. How would you pronounce that?
Eris. I think you hit the proper pronunciation.
Can't just spell it like Eris? I don't know.
Like A-I-R-A-S-S?
Or E-R-O-S? Like the God of love?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're going down beneath the surface of Eris.
The job is to recover this data and destroy all records of its presence. Bonuses.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Bonuses will be paid for any samples of the target corporation's own work recovered, and anyone on the job will be offered... And anyone on the job will also be free to keep anything else they find of value during the op. There is a front operation that will need to be penetrated. And there will be armed guards. Whoever goes to retrieve this tech will have help, though, an insider who is willing to help the team circumvent security and guide them through the complex. Her price is a small one, her own safe extraction from the facility. Blaine has his suspicions about this mission, but the contact checks out, and the lure of looting a corporate facility is too good to resist. He puts together a team of mercs to go get the goods. Nothing, of course, goes to plan. The team quickly finds their cover blown at the entrance to the complex when their counterfeit credentials are exposed. Their shuttle is badly damaged, and much of their equipment lost in the ensuing firefight. After securing an alternate entrance, the team must fight through the alerted guards and find one with a right retinal pattern to get them further into the facility. Things only get worse as they go deeper. The guards become better armed and better trained, and security measures harder to circumvent. Even the data storage facility is far higher tech than it ought to be. An enraged captive Chovar, not the passive computer database they were expecting. As it dies, the team are able to retrieve only a few scant clues as to the truth of the facility's purpose. It is owned by Maison Labs, and the chief scientist, Dr. Lucas Koiner, is working on something called Vector P, on levels beneath them. So that's like the background to the mission. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of fun to have like almost a RPG-like background.
Yeah. Aside from being erotically charged, it also kind of gives like a brief overview of what at least one scenario is going to be. We don't know the full details. This was just slipped to us under, you know, manila envelope slipped under a door. So,
yep, by a throaty contact.
Yes, and hopefully not too many Bothans died while doing it.
That's true. So we'll do some character backgrounds now. There's Captain Erica Dolinsky. That's the female ex-GCPS girl. And we have the concept next to her 3D sculpt. And the 3D sculpt's cool. It's a nice action pose. What do you think?
We've seen these before, the pictures, and this 3D rendering's going to be what the model's going to look like. And it's got the enforcer type armor on with the, a couple knives, grenades, the standard kit. Not too outside of the norm. Not wowing us right off the hop with something that's wild and exotic.
Yep. Her nickname, Captain or Cap, is a well-earned one, as an officer of the Riker Corporation, Armed Forces. So they're naming all these corporations now, which is interesting. Dolinsky served on a dozen worlds, and through three separate campaigns. Those who knew her in those days says she served with honor and distinction. Most famously, she saved the lives of a dozen wounded Marines when she dragged several out of the line of fire, of an Ork heavy gun emplacement. Dolinsky then returned to the position with her men's grenades on her webbing and destroyed it. She subsequently engaged and destroyed two more similar emplacements. The exact circumstance of her dismissal from Riker are unclear. Her records remain classified. Some say she was fired for insubordination. Others say she simply realized there was more money to be made soldiering as a mercenary. Whatever the case, her leadership and tactical skills place her in high demand amongst military freelancers, and her bravery and calmness under fire make her an invaluable teammate. So you got a little character bio there.
Which is nice. They've got to flesh out the heroes that you're playing with. It's the fluff that you so desperately crave.
Yep.
And it builds the world. Now we have corporation names. We have, you know, incidents that can be referenced.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're definitely expanding the world a lot more than probably any other game so far. The next creature, I guess you'd call him, is Combat Utility Robot B07153, aka Kirby. As we discussed before, he looks like Claptrap?
Claptrap, yeah. From Borderlands.
Yeah, they made it and made Kirby.
Yeah.
They have the concept in the 3D sculpt. The 3D sculpt, he has like a little R2-D2 hatch on the top, which pops open to show a little lens. I'm not sure. I like him clean shaven.
You don't need to see his protuberances, his lewd behavior exposing that to the world.
Yep. I think it's a showing too much. Maybe it's an option. Maybe you can have him smooth topped or R2-D2'd. So, combat utility robots are found throughout the corporate space and are designed as modular support bots for organic fighting forces. Designs vary across manufacturers, but operational flexibility is a requisite of construction. Some work as ordnance disposal bots, others as haulers, carrying, or towing gear. Basic medical units are understandably popular in the hottest war zones, but models with breaching equipment, physical and electronic, have found increasing use in bunker clearance and ship-to-ship actions. CURS, that's the CURs, have limited artificial intelligence. They are able to receive and process verbal and visual instructions. Their conversational skills are generally limited, though. They tend to be almost exclusively task-oriented. That said, behavioral quirks have been reported amongst the older or battle-damaged units. I assume Kirby is a quirk.
Yeah, something tells me he's gained a level of self-awareness or some other sort of humanizing trait.
Do you think he's going to be a wisecracking robot?
I think he's going to dress up as a clown and lure kids into the forest with promises of candy, but in fact, filling their pants full of spiders.
I don't even know what to say about that.
It's only a theory. It's only a guess. I don't know for a fact. It's just I'm looking at him and that's...
But that's what your sources with Inside Mantic have been saying?
Yes.
Take it from Jack. He is actually a clown who shoves spiders into kids' pants.
Not me. Kirby.
Yes. Take from Jack that Kirby is actually a robot.
The way you said it implied that perhaps I was the one lurking about forests.
You're projecting again. Next is Monarch. He's the enforcer. We get a full body shot this time. Before we had a small version. We could see his whole body. And Monarch is a member of the ESOC, Enforcer Special Operations Command. Look at that. Another new thing. Here's a bit about them. Wait, sorry.
When they did the gradient in the background, they forgot to highlight in the interior of the grip of his weapon. So you see a nice big white patch back there.
It's almost like he was cut and pasted onto something, like a cutout, paper cutout.
Yeah, they put a layer behind him, and they just hadn't. Yeah. Anyways,
you just wanted to point that out.
It's distracting me.
You're easily distracted.
Yeah, I'm going to just scroll back up and start looking at Kirby again.
So a bit about the Enforcer Special Operations Command. The role of the Enforcer is typically a high visible one. The job is to be the public fist of the Council of Seven and enforce its will, whatever the cost. However, there are some missions, some dictates handed down by the Council that require more clandestine touch. For these tasks, the Enforcer Special Operations Command, or ESOC, exists. Originally created to counter Asterian clade insurgencies threatening corporate interests in the Ryza worlds. It's just like fluff on top of fluff right there.
Yeah.
What's an Asterian clade? What's the Ryza worlds? Why must insurgencies happen there?
Yeah, and what are the... What are the corporations doing there to begin with that are being interrupted by these?
So I think we need like a atlas of the Mantic world with all this stuff in it. But it says ESOC has grown to be GCPS's preeminent covert warfare agency, and ESOC's operators are trained in assassination, sabotage, and counterintelligence techniques, surveillance and intelligence gathering, undercover operations, and espionage are. Form the greater part of ESOC's remit.
Yeah, there's a superfluous R there. The operations and espionage form the greater part,
It was probably like, are the greater part? No, it should be form the greater part, and they forgot to take the R out. Look at us nitpicking.
Stupid monkeys.
The exact number of the command staff is closely guarded secret in its disposition across the galaxy. As is its disposition across the galaxy. And with the number of assassinations and power plays regularly going on in the GCPS at any one time, it is difficult to know how many missions it undertakes every year. They sound like they are badasses. He's very colorful to be he's like glowy parts and colorful. You should think he should just be all black.
He looks like he should be on a Dreadball team, like flashy type.
If I saw this guy, I'd be like, oh, it's one of those assassination guys. Not like, what was that black thing in the darkness? Oh, well. We'll have to paint him up all black. Just prime him black, that's it. So there's also, they announced that after the Eris contract, that's not the end of Star Saga. There's going to be a lot more campaigns. And I assume that either these will be these expansions will be in the Kickstarter or they'll come later. They have one called Solet's Run, and it's a rogue ship's captain has stolen something of enormous value, his ship and its cargo. The captain, Ifer Solet, is already well on his way to sell the Orca to a rival corporation. He must be stopped. Solet has taken the Orca out of range of any of the rightful owner's vessels, but not Blaine's team. Using the ship they acquired at the end of the Eris contract, Captain Dolinsky and her crew's next mission is to intercept Orca as it passes through their sector, board it, and stop it reaching its destination. However, Solet didn't realize he was transporting a plague artifact. Dun, dun, dun. And it's got new bosses. Solet is a sphere, which is kind of cool. And it is going to be on a ship, obviously, this time, instead of a underground base. So that's kind of neat.
Yeah, which... the tiles obviously will still be, you know, a big part of the game, but now you've kind of expanded what you can do inside there. What
yeah, it'll be new tiles probably. Yeah, it's be new tiles with ships instead of the space there, instead of the research facility probably.
Since yeah, so instead of having say like as many like lab type, I don't know, not decorations. It sounds like just you're staging the house for sale.
Scenery.
Scenery, yeah. Then you know, you add some, like, oh, we're in the engine room now, and that'll add a level of a different thing that you can spin into something new and original.
Yeah, we'll have to see. And the next one's called Retake the Black Star Station, and it's a Veermen have taken over at a space station, so once again, a new place to fight. And the space station also was originally built as a defensive platform, so you're going to have probably weapons getting reactivated, so you're going to have like traps and stuff. That's kind of neat. So yeah, they're introducing Veermen in this one. So the other one's the Solat's Run is a sphere, so it'll be more Reb-like. This one's Veermen. It seems like they're just really going to use their whole line to fill out expansions.
Yes, and it says it also introduces the ever-popular Veermen.
Yep.
And that's A-OK in my books.
And the last one is it looks like it's going to be the Asterians you're going against. And it's convinced that the Tesseract's policies toward the GCPS are misguided. Some weird named leader of the Clade of White Blades has taken matters into his own hands. With the aid of the Graviton Cascade, a device capable of collapsing the fields used by McKinley drives, the White Blades mean to calm vast swathes of territory for themselves. Claim. The White Blades mean to claim vast swathes of territory for themselves and resurrect Asterian Empire.
We White Blades are here to calm you. Oh, we mean claim you.
Oh. And Blaine's team must stop him, which is kind of cool. Yeah, so I have no idea what it would look like. I guess it would be an Asterian base or something. That'd be kind of fun to have a totally different, background, like, tiles. That'd be neat.
It certainly, they're looking forward with new scenarios, and they're making it abundantly clear that when you get in on this game, it's going to be supported. There's going to be more coming.
Yeah, they're trying to say, yeah. And they also tease a Forge Father one where it's going to be in a dwarven hold, which is kind of fun too. You take a race and then you just, what would their tiles look like? And then there's a bunch of stretch goals that, we're getting either gotten to or getting to. The first one's a free bunch of minions. So we got some different, 3D sculpts of some of the security guards, it looks like. And, they're kind of neat.
They'll be fun. They'll be fun to paint there. They're just different enough that they'll give you something, you know, still mantic, still, but something new. But they do look like they're in the world, like they are part of that.
But they don't look like GCPS or enforcers. Like they're definitely security guards when you look at them.
Right. Something new, but you can tell, you see it, and it's like they're still part of the world.
Yeah, it's very cool. And then that's at $205,000, which they just passed in the Kickstarter. At $215,000, which is the next one, is the Survivor from old Dead Zone, the original Dead Zone. The Survivor is coming. And it looks like he's obviously anti-plague, so he's going to show up. So I don't know if it's like an exclusive, maybe a solo mission with him in the same base as the one, or he adds a little flavor to your fight, or you can add him to as a mercenary to your group. It's interesting to see what he's up with too, because he was one of the cooler models from the first Kickstarter, but nobody ever really uses him because his stats weren't for Dead Zone. They were not great; like they were just kind of boring. So,
yeah, I like the concept art here. It looks like it's they've stepped it up. He looked good originally.
Well, there's two sculpts from him originally. We only have one of them, so I don't know if this is the other sculpt.
Oh.
Because the one we have, he's pointing his gun out. So this, I don't know if this is a brand new sculpt or they're using the old, like, I think it was I'm not sure why it was like an exclusive maybe resin sculpt or something that you could have gotten from the first Dead Zone. Or if you got a retailer pledge or something. There was a reason why there was an alternate Survivor. So, It's in, I don't know if it's a whole new one or they're reusing that one, so it's interesting.
Yeah, well, it says they're supplying a cards that you can play. You can play through using his rules. So there's clearly some replayability factor.
Yeah, going through again with him. Yeah, that'd be. And then at 220,000, you get more minions. This time we have shot some lab technicians, and one's got a knife and one's got a bat of some sort. But once again, they look like they're in the world, but they're totally different from the security and anybody else. They almost look like what the plague looked like, but before they get ripped out of their suits and all plagueified.
They look like the shoulder pads and the pants and the stuff. They look like the zombies. Like some of them have minor look, like not as in children, but like as a minor as a profession. Tools,
minor, yeah.
Wrenches and stuff, but it has that same suit look.
Yeah, like, what are they called? Like hazmat suits?
Yeah.
So they look very cool. I hope they provide clear domes like Mars Attacks, because they look like they could have domes on their heads. Because they're spacesuits.
Yeah, because as it stands, you'd go, well, that rebreather hanging around his neck isn't doing anything when his face is exposed to the open air. But
yeah, obviously they should have helmets on. They took their helmets off, but
you know what? That would be pretty snaz.
So there you go, Mantic. Use the Mars Attacks bubbles. At 230,000, we get Ogun Helkar, Forge Father Engineer, and we talked about him before. We didn't know his name at the time in the last episode, but yep, he's a Forge Father. He's a Dwarven Engineer. There you go. He places sentry guns and force fields around the board to protect his team. So it's kind of neat. But they did announce that there will be stats for all these guys in Dead Zone. So that's interesting. So it's almost like an engineer for that the Enforcers have. Looks like the Forge Father is going to get one of those.
You had mentioned in the last episode, you said right off the hop, you're like, oh, he looks like a tinkerer. He looks like someone who would, and you nailed it. You'd hit the nail right on the head.
He's a gnome, not a dwarf.
Well, where's his red pointy hat?
Not that kind of gnome. Not a garden gnome.
Why is he not riding a fox?
Maybe he is. That's a stretch goal. You heard it here right from Mantic.
To ride around on.
Yeah, that's right. And 240,000, we get Kaizei Uru is a Sudoshan monk. The Sudoshans were introduced in Dreadball, and they're like, how would you describe this guy?
A pretty damn sweet. Now we're starting to get into like I said, Captain Dolinsky and some of those other stuff. Okay, it's either like humanoids, another Forge Father. This it's like a catapult. Pillar wizard with a lich face caterpillar
wizard with steampunk like pipes coming off his back.
Yes, and I can't imagine it's going to be like a different scale than say an average miniature. Like I as a race, I'm just making a bold statement here.
Well, we have the Dreadball ones, and they're just right. Normal size.
So, like, depending on what where a wizard falls in their etymology, it'll be a sweet looking miniature and welcome for Dead Zone.
Yeah, and they do have within Star Saga, they have the character creator and lets you make pretty much any race into a person into the game. So you can bring your guys from Dead Zone into or Warpath into Star Saga, and then they said that it goes the other way too, where you can bring your guys from Star Saga into either Warpath or Dead Zone, which is very cool. And at 245,000, you get 3D sentry guns and force fields. So this is obviously stuff that the dwarf puts out, but instead of just tokens, you're going to get actual 3D ones.
So instead of a pointed hat and a fox to ride on, you get some sentry guns and some mines for Ogun.
Well, they're force fields, not mines.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So it's like a force field projector. And then at 250,000, the big thing is that they're going to change Project Pandora, Grim Cargo, the original game that that Mantic made in space, I guess dungeon delving, but it was, GCPS versus, Veerman. They're going to, adapt it into, the Star Saga rules. So it's, you get the old book into the new rules, just kind of like they did with Dwarf King's Hold in, Dungeon Saga. So get whole Project Pandora brought in. That's kind of fun. People love that game, so.
Obviously, people were passionate enough about this game that they moved on to make the full-fledged Star Saga. So to be able to then re-enjoy this game and see the roots, see what started it all.
Yep, for sure. And they also announced a bunch of add-ons. So you got a scenery booster pack, and it's got like some kind of chamber, a gun rack, some tables, computer screens, bookcase, and crates. So you can buy that as an add-on now. This is what comes in the game, but as the add-on is $15 for two sets of all this stuff. So if you're not playing Star Saga and you need to fill out a room full of plastic scenery, $15, not bad for all that.
Not bad.
And of course they have a door booster pack, so you need more doors. It looks like, what's that, 10 doors for $10. People love 3D doors. It's a thing.
And again, if you're doing a tile-based game, they probably supply some cardboard cutouts things, but these you could paint yourself. You can put them, you could use them for any number of other things. If you're like, okay, well, I play this game and I like Dead Zone, I want some other, obstacles and stuff. Well, Now you can. There must be a market for it. They must know that people want to be able to use the scenery on the boards and stuff. So there it is.
Yep. And they also have some, some paint sets. They have a $30 starter set, which has what it looks like 10 paints for Army Painter. They always like to add their Army Painter sets. And then they, for $125, they have a 50 paint, set, which is pretty much every paint you need to paint pretty much anything. Nice range of colors.
Ye gods. Now, you use Army Painter. That's your one of your paints of choice.
Mm-hmm.
How do they do?
Yeah, I love Army Painter. And they recently expanded the range. Now they have a bunch of different colors. It used to be pretty basic, which I liked, but now they're going full crazy shade. Like, you get every color under the rainbow now. And I especially love their washes. They have really nice washes. And that pretty much covers it. We can check right now it's at 210,301 at the recording. That's how much they've garnered with 1966 backers. And as of this recording, got 18 days to go. So by the time this comes out, it'll be about 15 days to go. So if you're interested in a science fiction dungeon crawler for 1 to 5 players, you might want to check out Star Saga.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly where this falls, where it's going to fall in like the most backed Kickstarters, but there's certainly been a surge right off the hop, and it's been one of the more active Kickstarters that Mantic's had as of late.
Yep, and there's usually a big jump at the end. Like the last day, there'll be a huge jump where all the people are waiting to see what you get. And once all the unlocks, all of a sudden you'll go up. Like, people are projecting about 400,000 for this one, which is, that'll be pretty fun.
So when at the last couple of days they release the red pointed hat for Olgan, and everyone just goes hog wild and starts throwing the money at the computer screens, it's just furiously wanting to gnome out their engineer, then you expect 400,000.
That's the rumor. So there you go. That's our 0.5 episodes talking about the good old Star Saga. And if you didn't listen to 61, we do talk about it a little bit more. We go over all the things you get in the package. Plus we have news. So go back and listen to 61 if you didn't listen to that one. And until next time, I'm Rob.
And I'm Jack.
And this has been Dead Zone the Podcast. Have a good one. Go pledge.
Go team.
Go team Star Saga.
Go team Venture.
No.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions. You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. And now, a word from the fine folks at Vinland Old Time Radio.
You think this is funny? Oh, no.
Oh.
Then maybe you'll find Vinland Old Time Radio more of your liking.
More of your liking indeed, Rob.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com. It's where the funny lives.